taking that with the insurance.
Good morning, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to the DS Smith Trading Update Call. My name is Josh, and I'll be your coordinator for today's event. For the duration of the call, you will be on listen only. However, at the end of the call, you'll have the opportunity to ask questions by pressing star 1 on your telephone keypad. If you need assistance at any time, please press star 0 on your telephone keypad, and you will be connected to an operator. I'm now handing over to your host, Miles Roberts, to begin today's conference. Thank you very much.
Good morning, everybody. And firstly, thank you very much for joining us today. I'm Miles Roberts, the CEO of DS Smith, and I'm joined here with Adrian Marsh, our CFO. Our trading statement released this morning relates to the period of trading since the 1st of November 2016. And in that period, the business has performed absolutely in line with our expectations. It continues to build on the progress we made in the first half of the year with sustained good volume growth. As before, this growth has been particularly strong from our e-commerce business, which is an area of considerable focus for us, as some of you saw for yourselves at our Capital Markets Day earlier this year. Pan-European customer volumes continue to grow ahead of the average rate as customers recognise the benefit of a coordinated multinational solution to their packaging requirements. Packaging has never been more relevant to them. And we have strengthened our business with a number of small acquisitions this year, as previously announced. The strategy behind these acquisitions has been to expand our position in key markets such as Iberia and to build on our pan-European point-of-sale capability. And our outlook remains positive, despite ongoing challenging economic conditions, for instance, recently seen in some volatile input costs. But our business model is designed to deal with these, and we adjust prices to reflect changes in input costs to and from our customers, albeit with a short-term lag. Volumes continue to grow well, and we are pleased with the sustained, consistent progress of the business, both organically and from the contribution from acquired businesses. Customer and consumer trends continue to drive the requirement for sophisticated, innovative packaging, and we have the scale and expertise to invest behind these trends and consistently drive our growth. And accordingly, we remain confident for the future. Well, thank you for that. Thank you for your time. I'm very happy with Adrian to answer any questions people have.
Ladies and gentlemen, if you'd like to ask a question, please press star 1 on your telephone keypad. If you change your mind and wish to withdraw your question, please press star 2. You'll be advised when to ask your question. And our first question comes in from the line of David O'Brien from Goodbody. David, please go ahead. Your line is now unmuted.
Hey guys, thanks for taking the call. Firstly, Miles, just mentioned input costs have been pretty volatile. We've seen from releases now that DS Smith has announced 80 euros a ton containerboard price increase. Can you give us a sense of how much of that price increase has been driven purely by OCC higher costs? And secondly, look, as the largest collector of OCC in Europe, how far do you see pricing going there, and what are you seeing in terms of your own exports into China? And I suppose related to input costs, this time last year on your trading update, you noted that returns and sales had progressed year on year. Is it reading into things too much, given that it wasn't in the statement this year?
Right, so firstly, as we know, the price of paper, unfortunately, doesn't particularly reflect input costs. In the short term, it's a supply-demand issue, and the demand for our paper is very high. The demand for our paper internally is high. As you know, we work on performance packaging, and we need papers that aren't readily available, which our customers very much value. But the demand from overseas for paper has really changed since the beginning of this calendar year. You know, we all know paper is quite a volatile market. That's why we have our particular position in this, a short position. And just before the end of the calendar year, 2016, we had our half year, and everybody was talking about reductions in paper price and lower and more capacity coming on stream in 2017. Well, since the start of this calendar year, overseas demand has been really quite unexpectedly high. Now, there are lots of reasons for this, and I'm sure you're as aware of them as I am. As you know, we're one of the world's largest buyers of paper, so we see these trends. And the export markets are extremely strong, and that's what's gone into our pricing. It is true that OCC costs have gone up. I think more people are switching into test liner. That could be an increase in the a reason for the increase in demand of for our papers. And OCC has gone up quite considerably. When you look at the export price at the port, etc., and that doesn't reflect all the costs of OCC throughout the whole market, because obviously, you know, when you're collecting locally, etc., and as you say, we have a very we're Europe's largest collector and recycler of fibre, so we have a very good view on this this market. But OCC costs for the export market have increased quite considerably. Where they go in the future we never really know on these things. It's quite a volatile market. If I had to make a guess, I think it's demand is very high. We'll see where we get to the summer. After that, we'll wait and see. It may come off. It may stabilise. My hunch is it's probably going to start to come off. But we don't know. As you say, our business model is designed to deal with this volatility. And it is dealing with it. You raised about ROS. No, I wouldn't particularly read anything into that. We're saying we're trading absolutely in line with where expected good volume growth. We do have acquisitions coming in. We will have a full 12-month effect of that. I wouldn't read anything particularly about the ROS statement at all.
Okay. Thanks very much.
No, thank you.
Our next question comes in from the line of Barry Dixon from Davy. Barry, please go ahead. Your line is now unmuted.
Yeah, good morning, gentlemen. Two questions for me, if you wouldn't mind. I think, Miles, in December, you talked about volume growth of about 2.9% in European corrugated. Can you give us some sense as to whether that scale of growth has been maintained? And also maybe any commentary you had around the e-commerce, the growth in that business. I think you talked about 10% growth in that before. Is that still sort of tracking that level of growth rate? And then secondly, on corrugated pricing, there's obviously a lot of pressure coming from OCC. We're seeing lots of announcements on containerboard prices. Can you give us some commentary or any thoughts around what's happening with corrugated prices, where they are now relative to 3 months ago, and how quickly you think these increases in raw material costs can be passed through to the corrugated price? Thank you.
Well, look, the growth has we're pleased with the growth. We're really quite encouraged. You know, we'll wait to see where we get to at the end of the half year. We don't comment on quarters, but we're pleased with it. It's been strong, and you should. And that comment is made with regard to the first half of the year. E-commerce has been very strong over Christmas, and I have to say, continuing into the new year as well. So we're seeing a good sustained volume growth. I have to say, you know, we'll wait to see on the outlook, but if we just look forward, the order book's pretty healthy. When it comes to a corrugator, you're absolutely right, Barry, there have been a number of increase in raw material costs. We have it typically takes us around about 3 months to adjust prices up and down. You know, some contracts are immediate. We can change things. Other contracts, we could have an indexation which could be, say, 3 months, something like that. But, you know, our profit sector are where we are in line with our expectations. We do have some input costs, but I'd say the volume's been pretty good. So let's see what happens over the next few months. But all our mechanisms, our pricing is changing. I would say just one last comment on this. You know, we work an awful lot on what we call performance packaging and the strength and performance of our boxes is guaranteed, but the specification, how we make them, is typically, not in every case, but in a large number of cases, it's really up to us. And it's just at this time of volatility, which for us and our business model, how we can start to move different papers around, giving our customers the quality they want, so that they know that their packaging will be perfect. But it gives us the flexibility to start to move around into different papers and source, and this is exactly what our customers want us to see. So maybe that's partly behind the volume growth, but it's steady as she goes, despite the volatile markets.
Okay, thank you.
Okay, so we have no further questions on the line at the moment. So if you would like to ask a question, it's *1 on your telephone keypad. Okay, so our next question comes in from the line of Kevin Fogarty from Numis. Kevin, please go ahead. Your line is now unmuted.
Morning, guys. Just two questions, if I could. One, obviously, you know, you've pointed to where you're seeing sort of demand growth. I just wondered, from a sort of macro perspective, you know, some of the sort of European indicators obviously have improved. Do you think that sort of fed through as yet, or is there sort of potential for that to come through? Just secondly, on M&A, you know, sort of reasonably quiet period, I guess, in terms of sort of larger transactions. I just sort of wondered if you could give us a feel for what that pipeline looks like, you know, what sort of what you're seeing there in terms of availability of potential deals. I mean, I know in the past you've talked about sort of building presence sort of outside of Europe. Has there been any progress on that front, really?
Well, look, if I take the first question, in terms of demand, look, if you look at the GDP indicators, there is a slight tick up on the continent. Equally, the UK's probably quieter from where we expected a year ago, obviously following this referendum.
Who knows what happened?
Like, slightly quieter. But overall, Europe is slightly more positive. But we are talking about, is it a 0.1 or a 0.2 increase in rates? There's no doubt some of the southern European markets, particularly places like Spain, continue to do well. They had a very good last year, and the expectation for growth this year has ticked up a little bit. We do have some elections coming along, you know, particularly in France and Germany, the two biggest economies on the continent. So I think, you know, there'll be a little bit of a hiatus after that, but once that's settled down, we think Europe will continue to slowly recover. We don't expect a huge rebound. There's a lot of QE going in, so we think steady improvements. I have to say, you know, as you know, in our business, we're very focused on the consumer, and if it's consumer expenditure, then it's going to help us. If it's things that are more cyclical recovery, then we're just not so exposed to that as the market. That's another reason why our volumes are so consistently strong. So the outlook for us does remain quite quite positive on the opportunities for packaging. But I do think it's got more to do with the role of packaging, how our customers are using it, how we are targeting particular sectors, rather than the overall economy. Albeit the overall economy is certainly looking a little bit more positive on the continent. With all the hiatus in the world, I just think it's only a personal view, but I think the central governments, ECB, etc., will continue to support the economies and try to get this unemployment down over the coming years. So probably cautiously, slightly more optimistic on Europe than we were, albeit at a low level.
Okay, great.
M&A? Yeah, in terms of M&A, I mean, a slight broken record, because we say, I say this every time, but I mean, the pipeline is extremely good. We, you know, if anything, we're getting an increase in volume of inbound inquiries. We remain very focused and financially disciplined. So a lot of what we do now is in prioritizing the areas and the types of business that we're looking to grow. You know, clearly we get a lot of customer pressure to move outside of our existing territories, but you know, we're not about flag planting in weird and wonderful locations. You know, to repeat the point again, we keep financially disciplined. We do have, you know, an increasingly stronger packaging services presence outside of our existing market, and we've been supporting those businesses in their growth. But in terms of the overall outlook on M&A, you know, there just genuinely is no shortage of opportunities at the moment. The issue is, you know, how do they improve our business, and do they fit within our financial returns criteria?
Right. Okay. Okay. Fine. Okay, that's helpful. Thank you.
Okay, so the next question comes in from the line of Hector Forsyth from Cypher. Hector, please go ahead. Your line is now unmuted.
Morning, guys. Obviously, it's from Stiefel. A little question from me here. You make the point in the statement that the pan-European customer volumes are growing faster than the group average. You're clearly also hinting very strongly that that is also very true, if not greater, for e-commerce. So that means there's a residual. What is happening to the residual in terms of growth rates, and what are the decisions are you making around those customers and those groupings, which would suggest that is there any sort of you shedding those because the returns aren't sufficient, et cetera, et cetera?
Now look, it depends on how you segment. One of our criteria is looking for segments that have structural growth behind them. And when we look at the way we segment, you know, pan-European is one way. We look at e-commerce and indeed there are various other attributes in there. And it's not every, but most of our categories are all in, they're in growth. And it's about the different rates of growth and about the timing in the economic cycle. You know, the growth in e-commerce is extremely strong. It's double digit growth. We think that could get a lot stronger, but of course it is 10% of roughly 10% of volumes, roughly. So you've got double digit growth on 10%. That's sort of 1% for the like for the group. Our pan-Europeans are typically around about 30%, and they are growing very strongly. So you can see on the averages, it means that the rest is still growing, albeit less than the overall group growth rate, but nevertheless in growth. You know, it is. We just think that the smaller sector will continue to be, or continue to grow, but at a lower rate to the pan-Europeans. What's very important, though, is even in the smaller customers, they follow the trends of the bigger customers. So as we start to introduce new concepts, new designs, new innovations to our big customers, then they start to be mirrored by the smaller customers. It's typically are playing in a regional market. So again, you know, we're getting growth there, but it just doesn't have the quite the same attributes as the larger customers. And just sort of indulge myself a little bit further. You know, with everybody, we are finding this whole turn to this point of at the interaction with the consumer at the point of sale, and this just increasing awareness of packaging. With some customers last week, and it was absolutely super because when we were there, it wasn't just, you know, sort of operations and engineering there. I mean, you had the marketing people there. You know, it wasn't just one or two. It was quite a few people. Again, they want to hear what we're saying and how we can help them grow sales. And they said, well, it looks like we're going to reduce our mass marketing, television advertising. I think we're probably going to cut 40% out of that budget, and we're going to put much more at the point of sale. You know, and obviously we like to hear these sorts of things. So anyway, I'll stop indulging myself on that. But it's quite a nice trend when you get these sort of audiences with our customers.
Miles, thanks very much. Just a last bit there. Can you just talk through how the Parish manufacturing acquisition fits in the grand scheme of things?
Yes, it's so Parish is a plastics business in the US. We have a plastics business that predominantly makes the bags that go inside cardboard boxes for the transportation of liquid. As we pull out the plastics business in our segmentation, and it's not exclusively, but it's pretty much organic growth over the last 5 years, and I think our profits have quadrupled, basically. You know, we focus on that customer and what do they really want, how can we support them. And we've really seen very strong growth there, such that our US business, where we have three factories, is getting a bit short on capacity. So we bought a business that's in Indiana. Our main facilities are in Illinois, and this gives us more capacity. So it's modest, but we really wanted the capacity that they have so we can go on growing. You know, it is a modestly sized market. We are a very good supplier and innovator in that market, but it does have a limited it does have a limited size. So it's just a capacity rather than build a load of new capacity or just buy somebody and use their latent capacity. So it's actually going rather well, even though it's modest. We are The customer reaction was absolutely fantastic. So I think that's going to be, although it's small, we think that's going to perform very nicely for us.
Did you consider going greenfield for that?
Yes, we absolutely have. We've already built a greenfield site over the last few years in the States, again in Illinois. It's gone extremely well, but we run out of capacity in that as well. Now, we talked to a lot of people, and indeed this company we spoke to at the time that we were thinking about building a new factory, but they didn't want to sell. Well, in the intervening time, the old boy has, I shouldn't say that, the owner has decided to retire, set up elsewhere, and therefore he came back to us and said, can we talk? And we're absolutely delighted to talk. So it did actually prevent us from building another factory. But I think, you know, there is more growth opportunity there. It's not huge, but there's a nice growth opportunity there.
Okay. Miles, thank you very much.
No, not at all, Hector. Not at all.
Okay, so there are currently no questions at the moment. So your final reminder, if you'd like to ask a question, please press star one. Okay, so there are no further questions, so I'll hand back over to your hosts for any concluding remarks.
Firstly, thank you everybody for your time. We do appreciate it. Just to say that our business continues to perform in line with expectations. The growth is good and the outlook remains positive despite the ongoing challenging conditions. Thank you very much everybody for your time.
Thank you very much for joining today's call. You may now replace your handsets.